is El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Some recent TV interviews that everything was in the police report, but the police report didn't contain what was it about the injuries that sent you to the hospital.
Now, new information out of the mine explosion in West Virginia.
Fingerprints are very obvious. Anytime you start using it, although you can't see it.
Listen, here's how you know your country doesn't have a
lot. Teabag Obama?
No, Phil, get off me.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and a news, talk, and entertainment presentation that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass of media, of talk radio, of reality, really. Facebook lands a professor in hot water. Only 1 in 5 teens counts oral sex as sex, and Southern California gets an Easter earthquake. And welcome back to the show, 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County next hour to talk about Tiger Woods, his return to the world of professional golf. He's going to be with us. Our website is philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com. This is the place to go for live streaming video and audio of the show every night. So if you want to hear the show streaming and you want to watch it as well, brother, you can do that at philhendryshow.com. You also can download the show in its entirety the next day once we have it up on the site. And you can go and access literally thousands of hours going back many, many years of the Phil Hendry Show on our website. And we have other things there as well, including webisodes and podcasts, uncensored, and a merchandise store coming very, very soon, and emailing Phil. And, you know, it's endless, man. So it's philhendryshow.com. That's where you go to figure out just exactly what it is you're listening to. I'll give an example. You remember that lady, Daisy?
Yeah, that lady called last week.
I remember her.
Well, Daisy emailed me on Facebook, and I forwarded the email to whoever. I guess the guys that forwarded back to our website, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, boy, Mr. Hendry, I never heard your show before, and that guy last night, that Art Griego, he's a maniac, and...
Oh, she didn't know about it?
No, she didn't know about it. She didn't know about it at all. So I said, you know, forward her onto the website, man, so she can figure out what the hell is going on, because you need more than, like, one night to figure this show out. Believe me when I tell you. Oh, my God. And by the way, have you heard about Adam Carolla? Adam's got 5 million hits a month on that podcast that he does. And when he talked about some fighter from the Philippines, man, the whole country's pissed at him. Adam's podcast has gotten the Philippines mad at him. Now, when he was on KLSX, God bless him, he's a great talent. But this was the heat that KLSX was getting. They were getting so much heat. He could have talked about the Philippines until the cows came home, and they wouldn't, you know, he was lucky if 5 people heard him. Now he's doing his podcast on iTunes, and the whole country of the Philippines is pissed off at Adam Carolla. That's what I call reach, man.
That's the World Wide Web.
That's right, brother, the World Wide Web, man. Now, how do you feel when you are working in the radio industry as, like, say you own a radio company or a radio station, and that's what you've invested your money in, and some cat that you fired is now getting 5 million hits a month on his website, on his podcast, and he's got the Philippines. He's got a whole country in. I mean, I love it. He's got a whole country pissed off at him, right? And some jackass over at CBS fires Adam because they're figuring they know what's right, right? You cats wouldn't know. You guys, I don't even think you jackasses know how to turn a radio on, man. Let alone hire anybody. Anyway, the best of luck to Adam Carolla. He's a good man. And good luck with the Philippines, man.
Yeah, I can tell by the whole country.
The whole country's pissed at him. The whole country's pissed at him. The whole country is pissed at him because he said something about some prize fighter I never heard of. He's probably into the fight game. I follow the fights to a point, but I'm not into every teensy-weensy little flyweight or bantamweight that comes out of New Guinea. And he was heavy into some fighter in the Philippines that they just love. And he said, you know what? You cats have got to strictly be from hunger, man. If all you care, if the biggest thing you got going for you is the world bantamweight champion. And boy, did that piss them off. Woo! All right. Back to reality. Back to the important stuff. Forget about the Philippines. Forget about whether they're going to lynch Adam Carolla. Jesse James leaves rehab. Yay.
Yeah, she's going to divorce him.
As we were saying toward the end of last hour, and we will now pick up from that point, Sandra Bullock, I'm sure, is like any woman or like any human being, one desirous of a stable relationship and love and marriage and friendship and a good career, like we all hope to have, right? But Sandra is learning a lesson that so many women learn. And I'm sure that there is a male version of this, although I'm not quite sure what it is. I guess it's, you know, when you marry a stripper or something, isn't that right?
What do you mean?
I don't know, man. I mean, what's the male version of this? When a female marries a cat like Jesse James with the tats and the chopper and the bad boy thing, what is the male version? We marry a stripper?
Yeah, you marry a stripper or
you marry like a fat girl.
How, what do you mean marry a fat girl? What does that mean?
Because you want to change him.
I don't know about that, man.
No, man, a fat girl.
Yeah.
No. You know, anyway, Sandra Bullock has drawn up divorce papers because she finally got what a lot of women learn, and she's learning it the hard way like a lot of women, and that is that you can't turn the bad boy into the good boy. You ain't going to change him for love or money, honey. You know, you got yourself that sexy bad boy. See, here's the lesson in life, and every man knows this eventually. Number one, when you just meet her, when you're whining and dining her, when you are courting her, she wants to see the sexy, aggressive, and powerful side of you. When I say aggressive, I don't mean violent. I mean the man who can make his way in life. That's what she wants to see. She don't want your sensitive side, Jack, until she's already sampled the wares. Do you understand? These cats that come on with the sensitivity, and I'm not making fun, and there are a lot of women that probably listen to this and saying, oh, how dare you say, look, man, you know, I'm just trying, we're trying to cut to the horse dung, okay? I'm 57 years old. What I got to say about this is state of the art, so don't even worry about it. State of the art. You know, I can save a lot of guys years of heartache. When you first meet her, you have to come on, yeah, you got to come on like Jesse James, okay? You got to come on like Jesse James. And then when you marry her, she wants you to come on like, I don't know.
Walt Disney.
Well, you know, Mr. Sensitivity. What the hell is he telling me now? To do the Carolla story? All right, let's take a break here. I don't know what I'm doing. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Let me get back to what I was talking about, because I don't know what anybody's talking about. The only guy that I understand tonight is me. That's about it. And we'll do the Adam... I talked about as much about Adam Carolla as I'm going to talk about, you know?
Yeah, but there's more.
What more?
Just about how the power of media and everything about it.
Oh, who gives a sweet... Let me tell you something about the power of media. All right? I'll tell you this much. If Adam Carolla is getting 5 million downloads a month off of iTunes, which God bless you, Adam, I'm glad you are, how stupid does that make the people look at CBS that told him to take a flying Finienza? But the fact is this, he's probably so lucky to be away from that nightmare. He is so lucky. He's doing his stand-up. He's got 5 million downloads a month, which means he's promoting the hell out of his stand-up. He's promoting the hell out of his merchandise. He does these podcasts that are both audio and video. People download these. They watch them. They go watch his stand-up. It's a great promotional vehicle. He's got one. I think it is literally the single most viewed podcast in the world, or I don't know if the world, but in the country. And he's away from those jackballs in the radio world. He's away from those Nimrods who did nothing but make his life miserable, right? So what's to know? I think it's fantastic. But what happened basically was that he said something about some prize fighter. He told these cats, go pound sand with that jackass prize fighter of yours. As a matter of fact, I think we have the audio, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you listen to what he's saying.
All right, fine, great, here it is. Here's Adam Carolla on this guy, Paquino or Paquillo. I don't know the name of this cat. He's a prize fighter from the Philippines.
Listen, here's how you know your country doesn't have a lot going for it. When everything is about Manny Pacquiao. Get a Pacquiao life as a country, right?
I agree, man.
All you've got is this illiterate guy who won't give up blood, who happens to smash other guys in the head better than other people. And that's all you have is the Philippines? You know, everyone does that thing all the time where they're like, oh, they are so proud of their native son. They think the world of him. When he comes home to a hero's parade. He's going to run for Congress in the Philippines and win handily. Really? You want some guy with brain damage running your country? Why don't you get your together? They got this and sex tours. That's all they have over there.
And they heard that in the Philippines and they went nuts. They went nuts.
If that was a white fighter and probably even a black fighter, the black fighter was from Atlanta or somewhere like that, someone would go, what the f*** are you talking about? Give your drop of blood. It's not going to make a difference, you know? But because he's from the Philippines and because he's, you know, praying to chicken bones and stuff like that, everyone's kind of like, well, you got to respect him for his belief system. No, you don't. He's a f***ing idiot. Of course. Give your stupid look. If you're not juicing, it's like, who doesn't take a lie detector test who's not lying? You know what I mean? Hey, I accuse you of killing your wife. I didn't kill my wife. Good. Take a lie detector test. No, thank you.
There it is. And as a result of those comments in the Philippines, now they're burning Adam Carolla in effigy. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, man. See, the story is not what he said about the fight. That's not the story at all. That's incidental. The big story, is that a podcast on the internet has an entire nation up in arms. Now, that's the story, maybe not to those of you who are familiar with podcasting in a very intimate way, like you've stopped listening to the radio. For those of us who work in the media, for those of us who work in television or radio, and perhaps even for some who don't, the story is that a podcast has such reach that it has pissed off a whole nation. The Philippines. Adam Carolla's podcast. Not Rush Limbaugh's podcast. Not Glenn Beck's podcast. Not Sean Hannity's. Not even Glenn Hannity's. Not even Sean Beck's. Not even Bill Limbaugh. No. Adam Carolla's. And it is pissed off. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, too. And it's pissed off the entire country of the Philippines, and now he's got all that promo for his merchandise and for his stand-up. This is the story. This is the reach of the podcast for those of us in the business. Now, you guys who are just, you know, using the internet, naturally, oh, wow, I'm going to go listen to Adam Carolla's podcast. I really like it. But this is a bolt of from the blue for us in the broadcast business. I know because I go to these functions, to these seminars, to these conventions, to these roundtables. And I have to sit there, I got to tell people about the world outside of radio because they don't understand. I sat next to this guy. Did I bring this up already?
Yeah, the guy from WRI. Talk about him and everything.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think I brought up this, though. I sat next to that guy that you're talking about, okay?
Yeah.
I said, there is an industry, the radio industry, that has absolute fantastic relations with the federal government. We do. We've got great relations with the federal government. We have great relations with the FCC. I say we, the people who run, and own the radio stations. They got fantastic relations with the FCC. They're getting stations licensed left and right. They go back to D.C. once a year, twice a year. They pass out envelopes. They stuff them with some cash. I don't know what else they do. They snap on their knee pads. And they have a fantastic relationship with those guys. And they get stations licensed left and right, and they're making money, well, they were making money hand over fist. I said, so the radio business has got a great relationship with the federal government. I said, and yet, the companies are worth nothing. Nothing. I said, you going to blame Obama for that? Now, when you do that, see, people get angry because now you're making sense and you're just kissing Obama's ass. You know how they say that? I think it was Limbaugh that came up with that one. You know what a racist is? It's someone who wins an argument from a liberal, right? That was his. I said, well, you know, anybody who is licking Obama's ass is someone who just won an argument from someone that hates Obama. How the hell do you argue against that? My industry, my business, the business that I'm in, is in the tank, and you can't blame Obama for it. This thing was heading south, man, long before. I'm going to blame Bush for it.
Yay!
There you go. Okay, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Larry Grover next hour as we talk about Tiger Woods. Whoopee-doo. Let me tell you another thing, too. As long as we're just talking, you know, here, we're just girls talking. I did a videocast on Saturday night, and I talked about the difference between a performance artist and a huckster. Somebody that performs for a living and someone that's a huckster, okay? The radio business is increasingly given over to hucksters. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And the TV business, too. There's nothing wrong with that, so long as you know what it is. I am a performer. What that means is I let you see what it is I'm doing. I tell you, oh, yeah, that's me doing this. When I give an interview with somebody, I say, that's me doing this. When I give an interview with a newspaper, that's me. And I explain what I do. A huckster is a performer who doesn't explain that what he is doing is a performance. A huckster is Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer has people who will that he pays to act a certain way on his show, that he pays to come back and be this one week and be something else the next week. Hucksters are people who are performing who don't want you to know. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. It's just a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And you could make the argument that there are hucksters all over television today. Some people might even make that argument about Glenn. He's a huckster. In other words, he doesn't want you to know. He doesn't know what it is he's talking about. He just wants you to think a certain way, and therefore, now, there's nothing wrong with that, but when it starts to pass for, I don't know what you want to call it, when it starts to pass for truth, when it starts to pass for, wow, that's some real highbrow stuff there, man. You know, when it starts passing for, gospel, we got some problems. It starts passing for, well, that's some very, very insightful political commentary. I just must, oh, my goodness. You got some real serious problems, friends. So it's really all about, as I said, you know, the media war and the money that people are making, the money that people are not making. And it's also about whether or not you're going to, people out there, the viewer and the listener, whether or not you guys are going to buy it for truth, justice in the American way, or whether it's just a lot of horse dung that you're using to pass the time, man, while you're getting your nails painted, you know. All right, our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Now, that was the video cast on Saturday, and we're going to do a Saturday video cast each and every week. And taking a look at what Adam's been able to accomplish with podcasts, I think we're going to start going over to iTunes and just jamming that sucker full of Phil Henry video and audio iPods, or whatever the hell it's called. What's it called?
It's not a podcast, man. An iPod is a thing.
I understand that. I get it, man. I dig it. Okay. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Obama throws high and wide in a historic first pitch. Now, how about that? How about that? The pitcher, the president throws out the first pitch every year, and every year it's a news story. And, man, I got to tell you, it ain't. You know, other than the fact that he did it, how he threw the ball doesn't matter. The president, he threw the ball? Yes, he did. I don't want to know whether it was high and wide, man. He's the president. He ain't supposed to know how to throw a baseball. Baja's earthquake as well. And this Facebook flap, East Stroudsburg University professor returns after threats posted online. And we put threats in quotations. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show here. Welcome back. I'm reading a book. Where is it? Well, it's called Moments of Courage, Courageous Moments for Presidents, something like that. I forget the name, but I've already into. I read the chapter on John Adams. I read another chapter on Teddy Roosevelt. Roosevelt. The chapter on John Adams had to do with the sending of envoys to France to offset war with France, to try to offset war with France, because he knew a war would be very, very bad for a very, very young country. He had opposing him none less a personage than Thomas Jefferson, who felt that a war with France would be a good thing. Because at this point, it was Napoleon, see? It wasn't the revolutionaries that Jefferson so admired. It wasn't the rights of man. It wasn't the directorate. It was this guy named Napoleon. And Jefferson and his friends, they didn't like that guy. There's another chapter on George Washington and the Jay Treaty. You know, if you saw the John Adams miniseries, he says they could light the country from one end to the next with my the burning effigies of me. There's another chapter on Teddy Roosevelt when he took on J.P. Morgan, and he took on the trusts. Lincoln's presidency is filled with examples of a president who went against the people. And Roosevelt had a quote, and he said the following. He said that 51% of the time, the voice of the people is the voice of God. He said, but the rest of the time, it is the voice of the devil or a fool. And that's why, you know, you can say what you want, and maybe it doesn't make me the most popular guy in the world, and maybe it doesn't fit the format. But when I hear people bitching about Obama, talking about how this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, I don't mind when they start arguing the issue. But when I hear some guy like Boehner saying, the American people, 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 the American people. And here's a poll, and here's a poll, and here's a poll, and here's a poll, and here's a poll. When a guy is poll watching, if you'll pardon the expression, like a guy, like this guy Boehner, or even my good personal friend Sean Hannity, well, look at the polls, look at the polls, look at the American people, the poll, the poll, the poll, the poll, the poll, the poll. I know that these are not what I would call the most courageous people in the world, right? These are not what I would call brain surgeons. These are guys that can't even argue an issue. What they can do, though, is show you a poll. What do you do when you bust out a poll? Well, what you're doing is you're buying time while you learn what the hell it is you're talking about. The other thing that I wanted to say is this. In reading this book, you know, basically this book could be called, as I said on the Philcast on Saturday night, I said this is a book that could be called Presidents That Did Stuff That Made People Really Angry and That Turned Out Good. You know, it would have been a very long title, but it would have told the story. Presidents That Did Stuff That Made People Really Angry, But It Turned Out Really Good. You know, that's really what we're talking about. Now, at the end of the day, do you want a president that is sticking his finger in the wind to see which way it's blowing, or do you want a guy that's going to do what's best for the country in his mind? What do you want? I'm not asking that question because I want an answer. That's a rhetorical question, and people are going to answer that any way they want. And you don't have to like Obama if you don't like his policies. I understand that. But don't ever, man, I don't want anybody walking up to me and telling me, well, look at the American people don't like. Oh, really? All of a sudden you're getting your guts from the crowd? I can't stand people like that. I hate people like that. I hate people that have to fall back into the crowd to get their guts. The American people don't think, and you're part of that big mob, huh? Yeah, well, you know what? I don't have any respect for you. You don't even know what the hell it is you're talking about. Now, the other thing about presidents I'm learning from this book, whether they're good or whether they're bad, whether they're smart or whether they're stupid, or whether they, you know, whether they did what people wanted them to do or they didn't, Not anybody can become a president. It takes a lot. One of the things it takes is organizing. You got to find the people that are going to help you become president of the United States. You got to, you know, you got to negotiate a thicket of, all kinds of, negative opinion that some people may have, fundraising, people saying, what are you thinking? You're not going to be elected president. You couldn't get elected hall monitor, man. And as I'm sure you can well imagine, you really got to think highly of yourself, too. And there's going to be all kinds of scrutiny on you. And the higher you go, obviously, the hotter that Kleeglite is, right? Now, can you imagine? And I asked this question of intellectually honest people who are not, they're not going to understand, or they're going to get pissed at me for even asking the question. Always be suspicious of people who get angry at other people for simply asking a question. Always be suspicious of those people. So the question I have is, how tough, if you are running for president of the United States, and you know how tough it is, and the kind of guys that run for president of the United States, and women, and the kind of people they are, and the kind of person you got to be to win, I mean, this is, as they say in Washington, it's hardball, you know. Now, how tough do you think it is being a black guy running for president? Some people may think that it's easier. Well, if it's so God bloody easy, then how come we haven't had a black president until now? Obviously, it's not easy. In fact, you got to go everywhere and do anything practically to get the money to run for president. And then you have to, convince a lot of people in your own party you can win, and so on and so forth. Now, why do I talk about this stuff? I talk about it because I don't really believe, I think maybe we're getting there, but I don't think 1 year into this guy's presidency, I don't know that the American people have a clue, not to what the belief system of Barack Obama is. I'm not interested in talking about that right now. I ain't interested in talking about what he believes, what his politics are. I don't think the American people have a clue as to the actual substance of this guy, what he's made of, what kind of guy he is. How does he arrive at the opinions he arrives at? Some people think he's an ideologue. Those people are the single most shallow-minded of all. Because if you think that cat is reacting strictly from ideology, now I don't doubt for a minute, and I mean this, he's got people leaning on him. Hey, you remember the money I gave you? Yeah, I remember. Okay, I don't know what you think you're doing, but I can tell you, you're pissing off a few people. Now, this drilling for oil off of Virginia, I don't know what that is. I guess I'm happy about it, but somebody made the statement, and they're right. California could sure use those jobs. Thank you very much. But, hey, you know, who are we to quibble, man? We only have all kinds of oil out here that they actually know is there. Let's go drilling for it off the coast of Virginia, and maybe we'll find some. That's way smarter. But you know what? I guess I had to say it's a great idea. What's happening in Iraq, if it continues to happen the way it's happening, God help him, man, I'm telling you. But that's because he's got that far-left peace wing of the Democratic Party that would rather have Iraq turn into a bucket of blood. They'd rather have it turn into a bucket of blood than be wrong about that war. They were against it. They're against it today. And they probably get on their knees at night praying for that country to fall into civil war because it would make them right. And they'll do everything in their power to make sure that happens, including exerting the influence they need to exert over this president who owes him big favors. He owes all kinds of people, man. He's a black guy that got elected president of the United States. Who doesn't he own? And who doesn't he owe, I should say? Who doesn't he own?
He doesn't own anybody.
Right. So, I mean, that guy, you know, that guy is in a pressure cooker. And I think a lot of the decisions he makes has to do with not so much whether he is absolutely 100% committed to that decision. I think he has to balance, who he's going to make mad this week. He got all kinds of people pissed off at him because of that oil drilling thing. Got all kinds of people pissed off at him because of the Patriot Act. Gets all kinds of people pissed off at him because of health care. And gets all kinds of people pissed off at him because he hasn't pulled the troops out of Iraq like yesterday. Gets all kinds of people pissed off at him because he believes, because he said something about, said something about fair. And they think that means redistribute wealth. And they think that means social justice. And they think that means communism. In other words, as Americans, we're reacting to Barack Obama as, the way I figured we would. He's sort of this weird, unknown commodity, and we better be on the safe side and think he's a commie. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up is Larry Grover joining us tonight, plus Toyota's accused of hiding the defects with their cars by the U.S. government. Get rid of that rotten music. All right.
You don't like that?
No, I don't. Asinine. 877, bumper music is the next best thing to have in a show. You know that.
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Apple sells more than 300,000 iPads on the very first day, and the reviews are pouring in, and they ain't too good, man. That's according to what I've been hearing.
You know, I went out and got one, man. It's just like a laptop.
Bull crap, it ain't like a laptop, man. I heard people say that you can't... What do you mean it's just like a laptop?
Well, it looked like one.
It doesn't look like one. It's an iPad, man. It's like a pad that sits there. Jonathan Anticani, host of the online tech show T3, details the experiences of people who were the first to buy the iPad. Now, you guys know, and we all know, and we've heard this a million times, you know, if you go out and you buy something and you're among the first to buy it, be forewarned, there's going to be technical problems with it, and we never seem to figure that one out. You know, we get it home, and how come it does? Like the very first people about the iPhone, I want to thank you guys, because all of the mistakes that they made making the iPhone, all of the lousy technology that went into it, and you first people that had it, well, guess what? They straightened it out so that when Phil finally bought his, it works like a charm.
Yeah, well, I bought an iPhone, and it sounded like I was in a, like, I don't know, in a bathroom or something.
What did?
Yeah, when you're on the phone the first time.
When you were on the phone? I know, I was talking. Was that your iPhone?
Yeah.
You did. You sounded like you were either talking in, from a bathroom or inside a garbage disposal or something.
Right.
I thought that you were in a garbage disposal.
No, man. What are you talking about? When I get the iPhone, the thing is... But now, yours is way, way better.
Yeah, mine's way, way better because of jackballs like you went out and bought it, and they figured out what was wrong with it. Anyway, here is Jonathan Anticani, host of the online tech show T3, detailing the experiences of people who were the first to buy the iPad.
Apple iPad was released this past Saturday, and we had several people there in line. There was a reservation line for pre-orders and a purchases line for those that hadn't made a reservation. It seemed like everybody in line had an iPhone and was a big Apple fan. Once the store opened, a line of cheering Apple geniuses came out and were paired up with each customer. They walked them over to the accessories for those add-on sales, and they were able to get it done in about 10 minutes. The genius activated and tested the iPad, and then it was off to play with their devices. Some Europeans actually flew to the U.S. just to buy an iPad, and Apple is estimating that they sold 300,000 units on Saturday.
Nice going, Apple. 300,000 units, man, on something that isn't yet, you know, working right. That's what I call, I don't know what you call that, quality control, or, you know, it's experimentary product development. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's called product development.
Product development, and you're selling it. Anticani explains some of the early criticisms of the iPad.
Fingerprints are very obvious. Anytime you start using it, although you can't see it when the screen's on, as soon as that screen is off, they're all over the place. And you can tell it's a version one product. Some of the applications need to have some refinement and some fine-tuning, but I expect that'll come in time.
All right, so anyway, Apple said Monday that it delivered more than 300,000 iPads on its opening day, meeting expectations of some analysts while underscoring the challenges the company still faces marketing the device beyond early adopters. What challenges are those? 300,000 units on your opening day? Is that bad or good? I mean, it's got to be good. The sales numbers are also reportedly exceeded 600,000 for the entire weekend, but these figures have yet to be confirmed. Well, I don't know that number. It says here that the total seemed modest given the weeks of hype about the revolutionary nature of Apple's new touchscreen tablet device. Furthermore, the figures include pre-orders that were picked up or delivered. Oh, so they didn't dig it. I don't know what a healthy number is.
Oh, I bet that 300,000 sound good.
It isn't. It isn't. Not according to Apple. 300,000 is weak, Jack. And those figures included the pre-orders that were picked up or delivered Saturday and iPads sent to retail stores such as Best Buy but not necessarily purchased. Apple did not say how many went to such stores. So they're also counting the number that went out to these retail stores. They could be still sitting on the shelf for all I know. I don't know. But see, the problem is the very early word on this thing is that it's just it's garbage in a case, you know.
You can't say that. You're doing that on purpose.
What?
You're trying to do that to mess up the sale and everything.
What do you care, man? You got Apple stock or something?
No. But why would you say that? What, just to get your giggles ruining something?
What do you mean getting my giggles ruining something, man?
You're just kind of talking about how bad it is just to get your giggles.
Oh, man. He ain't getting no giggle doing that. He's talking the truth.
Look at Bud. All I'm telling you is, this is what people said. What are you, some kind of a... Yeah, I'll just say what, Robert, you got Apple stock?
No. But why would you say it? People are going to not want to buy it.
All right. If they don't want to buy it, don't let them buy it. You know, I've been hearing so much in my life. Oh, you know, the technology will get better in 2 years. Well, then why the hell am I going to buy it now? I remember when VCRs first came out. This is how, you know, this is a great story. VCRs were $1,000. $1,000 to buy a video cassette recorder and the playback unit. $1,000. RCA had one for like $900 or something. It's ridiculous, okay? Now, the same thing today with whatever, iPhone, iPad, you know, iReport, you know, you decide, whatever. And there's always some of these kinks. I think what we need to do is start talking a little bit more about the kinks and a little bit less about the Yardbirds. No, I think we...
What?
No, we need to talk a little bit more about what it is you're getting on the downside as well as the upside. So somebody's going to go out and buy an iPad because they're all jazzed and they're Apple fans and they feel just all warm and fuzzy inside and the thing isn't worth a pinch of you-know-what, then what the hell's the point, man? I know people that love, I know people that love Apple... what the hell is the name of that damn thing, man?
What?
The name of the damn, I guess it's just a laptop, right?
Yeah, it's a laptop, or you call it like an iBook.
Yeah, an iBook.
An iBook.
Yeah, MacBook.
MacBook, that's it. All right, I know people that have those, but they don't dig the fact that there are some, for instance, Flash Media. So they don't get, like, webcam, all kinds of crap. Hey, Apple, you want to do everybody a big fat favor, including this show? Make your iPhone and everything else that you've got capable of carrying Flash Media so people can watch the Phil Henry videocasts on their damn iPhones and on their Macs, right? Right now, BlackBerry, you can watch our videocasts on demand on a BlackBerry. And I would respectfully submit to you, Apple, that I would be willing to, you know, put a few extra bucks in your envelope at the end of the week if you do that for me. Apple sold 1.1 million more iPhones over the next 3 months. The volume has only increased as Apple has released new versions of the phone in a growing number of countries, and software developers have created add-on programs or apps that, of course, Apple doesn't like Tiger Text and Cover Your Tiger Tracks. I'm joking.
Man, that thing is bitching.
Yeah, but don't let anybody, I'm kidding about that. Apple doesn't, they don't approve. But that's an example of the iPhones. Assuming most of the 300,000 iPads ended up in the hands of consumers on Saturday, though, the figure is in line with the number of iPhones that Apple sold when the smartphone made its debut in June of 2007. Apple didn't publicize first-day sales at the time, but later earnings reports indicated the company sold about 270,000 iPhones during the first 2 days the gadget was available. Kaufman Brothers analyst Sha Wu...
You're kidding.
No.
Man, how come I can't hear about one man who ain't got the last name of Chang or Ching or sound like damn silverware dropping, you know?
Will you shut up about that? You sounded like a racist.
Yeah. What do you mean, yeah?
Well, you forget about silverware dropping.
Everybody they talk about, man, every time they say Kaufman brother this or that, and the analyst, a man named Wang. Now, I'm getting tired of it, you understand? Tired of it. How long we been sitting a second-class citizen, and here come a man named Wang. What are you laughing at, man?
I'm laughing at you, man.
It's pretty funny.
What's funny about it?
Second-class citizens, huh?
That's right. Every black man in this country. They have to stand in line behind a man named Wang.
That's right, Robert. Stand in line behind... Oh, don't get pissed off.
Look, he's leaving now.
What are you leaving for?
Forget it.
We'll be back with Larry Grover talking about Tiger Woods. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.